Our text this evening is Matthew chapter 8 and verses 2 and 3. But first of all, some context. You will remember the last three chapters we've been considering this great Sermon of the Lord, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. And although the Lord was speaking to his disciples who were sitting in front of him, a great crowd of other people were listening as well, and he was instructing them in righteousness, and they were astonished by his teaching. Can you imagine sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and listening to him preach, having never heard these words before? Well, it must have been quite extraordinary. No doubt there were many there who loved him and who trusted him. There were others who were coming to faith even as he was speaking, including the leper that we're going to look at today. Others who had heard of this man and were curious. Perhaps there were some who had gone with a very mocking spirit, gone to see the spectacle, gone to see the famous celebrity, and in their hearts they were hardened. Perhaps there were Pharisees and scribes there who hated this man. He was a threat to them. He was going to take away their authority and their respect. But even they couldn't interrupt him. They couldn't do anything but marvel at the words that he spoke, because they were extraordinary words and wonderful words. But after the sermon, after the teaching and the words, there comes action in chapter 8. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was no ordinary man, as we know. He was the Son of God. He was both human and divine. And therefore, he was given by his Father supernatural powers. He could perform miracles, and we see some of these miracles here in chapter 8. Why was he given this power? Well, it's quite clear and plain and obvious to us, really. Of course, first of all, to show people that he was no ordinary man. He would do things which were impossible. He would do wonderful and extraordinary things which were completely out of the ordinary. Nobody had heard of such miraculous things since the time of the Old Testament and the prophets of long ago. Some of them could do remarkable things, although they didn't do it on the scale that the Lord Jesus Christ did it. And so all the Jewish people would immediately think back to those miracle-working prophets, the one or two of them in the past, and they would say, well, they were great men of God. We remember Moses and how God gave him power to do certain things. We think of Elijah as well, and he did extraordinary things. This man, therefore, must also be from God, and he must be greater than them, because the works that he does is greater. But that wasn't the only reason. It was perhaps the primary and the main reason that we should know that Jesus Christ was sent from God. He was no ordinary man. We don't read of Muhammad doing these things. And if we were to find somebody in the street today who could do these things, we would be astonished. We read in this book of Jesus Christ, who claims to be the Son of God and who was authenticated with great and supernatural healing power. But there was another reason. These miracles, they're like little pictures of the real reason that Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to heal. He didn't come primarily to heal people's bodies. He came to heal souls. He came to fix the great problem of our sin. But in each miracle that he did, he shows very clearly, in a very visible and a practical way, how he deals with sinners. You see, a soul is invisible. And sin staining that soul, well, it can't be seen. And therefore, for us to understand what it is that the Lord Jesus Christ does when he heals a man from his sin, when he brings him back from spiritual death, well, we need a more visible, a more easily understandable picture. And so the Lord gives it to us in these miracles. I just want to look at a very simple and straightforward miracle this evening. Verse 2, look at it again. And behold, there came a leper. A leper is a man suffering from leprosy. It is, or was, a serious skin disease, but it is fatal. And although the disease itself has changed over time, in the Lord's day, it was like white blotches which started to cover the skin, and they would start perhaps at the extremities of the nose and the toes, and the hands and the fingers, and slowly the flesh would die, and you would lose feeling, and parts of your body may well even eventually drop off. And we read also of those who lose feeling in their fingers and toes, and therefore are nibbled at by rats while they sleep and do not know because they have no feeling. And it was a vile and loathsome disease because it was highly contagious. People who had leprosy were counted to be unclean. They had to move out of their homes, away from their family and their friends and their communities and their work. They had to go and live in leper colonies, in caves, far away. And it was unusual that any should be healed from this once you got to the stage where you had to go and live only with other people suffering from the same disease, cut off from normal society. Well, you were in big trouble, and there was probably no way back. There were rules about staying away from people, being in quarantine, and not certainly going to the temple to worship the Lord. And so to be a leper was a very tragic thing indeed. But here we find a leper who boldly comes to where the crowds are. He should not have been there. But look what he does. He worshipped him and said, Lord, if thou wilt, let me put that another way in more modern English, if you want, you can make me clean. And the Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I do want, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The doctors could not cure leprosy. Only a very few recovered by the strength of their own immune system. The doctors could do nothing. And if they could help in any way, or if anyone were to be recovering from leprosy, it would take some time. It would leave scars. But this cleansing, this healing was immediate and complete. I want you to notice three things about this leper. Firstly, and very obviously, he had this great need. We feel for him. He was now sick and dying. He was in pain. He was suffering from a disfiguring and an ugly illness. He was now probably cut off from his family. He would love to see his family, perhaps. He would long to be able to cuddle his children, but he would know the very act of taking his dear children into his arms would put them in danger of catching the disease themselves. So he had to exile himself. He faced a lonely, painful, and lingering death. He had a great need. I don't know if you've ever hurt yourself in some way. It may be a small way. Maybe you've just got a paper cut on your finger. It's a very tiny thing, isn't it, a paper cut? And yet it seems to cause discomfort out of all proportion with what it is. Or maybe it's more serious. You've broken a bone in your foot or your toe. Or you've got a toothache. And in your mind you think to yourself, it's such a small thing, a little toe. I don't need it when I'm sitting down. Or my tooth, I'm not eating. Why do I need it? And yet the pain seems to take over your whole head or your whole leg and your whole body. It makes you feel tired. It makes you feel irritable. It makes you feel not wanting to do the things that you need to do just because a small part of your body is in pain. And perhaps you can't think about anything else. You can't properly concentrate on your work, or you can't properly enjoy the television program you're watching because of that little tooth which is bugging you and which is aching terribly. Sometimes people are more seriously injured, aren't they? And they maybe break an arm or a leg and they have to have it put in plaster. And for the first week or two, it's absolute agony and they can't sleep at night and they're on the painkillers. But after a while, I understand, I've never had this happen to me myself, but you start to get a little bit used to it. The cast feels a little bit more like a part of your body. The muscles of your body adjust, and you kind of know how to walk or move, and you know not to knock it, and you start to feel as if, you know, well, I can cope with this. It'll be a hassle. I wish it was off, this plaster cast. But although I've got a broken arm and I can't use it, the rest of my body has adapted. I don't think this leper could ever really adapt to his new situation. I don't think he could ever really forget his problems. He wasn't being nursed by his loving family. He was away from them. He wasn't able to go to work as normal because they wouldn't have him there at work. He was surrounded by people with the same condition. He could not forget this great need that he had. It was all that he thought about, morning, noon, and night. All that he prayed about, Lord, heal me from this disease. It was the greatest need of his life. Our greatest need is to be forgiven of our sins. And yet, although we all suffer from this great disability of sin, somehow we seem to be able to get on with life without thinking about it. It's a very strange thing. If we'd broken both of our legs, we wouldn't be able to get on with life without thinking about it, would we? We had a serious disease that required treatment and surgery. We wouldn't be able to spend much time, certainly not a whole day, without thinking about it. But we are so used to this terrible disease of sin that we have, and so used to seeing everybody else in our life is suffering in the same way, that we treat it almost as being normal, almost as being not a problem. But it is a problem. It's a terrible and serious problem. It is the most significant factor in our lives. We shouldn't go through life ignoring our sin any more than we should go through life ignoring a serious illness. If we had suffered a car accident and we had gashes all over our legs and we suspected that there were broken bones, well, we would call an ambulance. We would ask the doctor to see to us, but we suffer from this dreadful affliction of sin and we seem to want to bravely get through it. We don't call the physician of souls. We don't call the only one who can help us. We have a terrible and a serious need. But unlike the leper, we don't seem to want to do anything about it. The second thing I want to notice about this leper, apart from his great need, is his great humility. We can see this humility shining through. He had a very lowly view of himself. The first thing he did was he came and worshipped. And that means he bowed down. Now, I don't know about you, but people don't do that for me very often. People don't come into a room where I am and fall at my feet and kiss my shoes. Have you ever had that happen to you? I doubt it. You might have seen it on the television sometimes. When people meet the Queen, they bow and scrape, don't they? They curtsy and they grovel and they lower their heads as a sign of respect. And what they are saying is, we are beneath you. You are the Queen. You are the head of state. You are royalty. You are high born. We are commoners. We are worthless in comparison. And so you humble yourself by bowing down. And that's what this man did. In the middle of the street, he went up to this man, a carpenter's son, with no job, with no qualification, with no royal lineage that he knew of. Certainly wasn't born in the palace, although he was of the line of David. To all intents and purposes and all outward appearances, an ordinary man, but he bowed down before him. He lowered his face in a sign of respect. And he said to this man, by worshipping him in this way, you are far above me. I am far below you. And he said Lord. He used the word Lord, and this means supreme. The word means supreme. It means, Lord, you are above me. He didn't have an earthly title. You might have called him master or rabbi as a sign of respect, but he called him Lord. This man, this leper, knew who the Lord Jesus Christ was, and he was bold enough to come and bow himself down and call himself Lord. Well, he didn't think of himself too highly at all, did he? He thought, no, this man is far above me. He is special. He is who he says he is. And then he says, if thou wilt, if you want, you can make me clean. And in a sense, when he says that, what he's really saying is, I can't. I can't make myself clean. I don't know any doctors who can make me clean. There are no physicians or magicians or witch doctors or anyone who can heal me of my disease, even if I had enough money to pay them. There is nothing I can do. So he comes worshipping, bowing down. He comes calling the Lord, Lord. And he comes saying, I can't take care of my most basic need. I cannot heal myself, but you can. We always think that we can be good, don't we? We like to think, yes, I've made mistakes. I've told the odd lie, but I can stop lying if I want to. Oh, I've lost my temper once or twice, but most of the time I'm in control. Oh, I know that I've thought some dirty thoughts, but those are all behind me. We're not like this leper so often. He knew that he couldn't heal himself, but we so often think that we can. We think that we are stronger and better and more talented than we really are. When I was very young, I forget exactly how old, but you can ask my mother afterwards. I think I was 18 months, 2 years old. We had been on a family holiday to Scotland. And as I recall the story being told to me years later, I was most insistent that I should be allowed to drive the car home from Scotland as a two-year-old. And my parents had to explain that no, I couldn't do that, but that wouldn't be possible. But you can understand, can't you? Perhaps you've seen it yourself, that children don't realize the limits of their own abilities. And yet, we as sinners are very childish so often. We think that we can please God. We think that there is some way in which we can reach his high moral standards, but that is far more ridiculous than a two-year-old thinking he can drive a car from one end of the country to the other. Far more ridiculous. You think you can please God, you have no idea. You think you can keep his law, you have no idea. You think you can be holy like the Lord God, you have no concept of either his holiness or your own depravity. But the leper did. He knew that he was dirty and filthy and diseased, and he couldn't do anything about it. He did know somebody who could. He was not confused. He was not deluded. He was wise. We can learn from him. So we see his great need. We see his humility and his proper and correct assessment of his own situation. And then we see his faith. He believed in Jesus. He believed in the power of Jesus Christ. He believed that this was no ordinary man. He was quite certain in his mind that the Lord Jesus could make him clean with a click of the fingers, with a touch of the hand, just with a word. He believed that. The only question in his mind was whether the Lord Jesus Christ would want to heal him. So that's how he phrases his question. Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. It wasn't If you try very hard, you can make me clean. It was, you can definitely make me clean if you want to. So we see his faith. This is faith. It's simple matter. It's belief in action. Let me ask you, how many other lepers do you think there were who had heard the same things as this leper had heard? How many other desperate men and women were there who longed to be healed from their horrible disease? And yet, only this one comes. He leaves behind the leper colony. He comes into town where he, strictly speaking, shouldn't have been. He comes in to the crowd, not because he wants to put those people at risk, but because he is sure that the Lord will heal him. This is belief in action. Perhaps there were other lepers that he'd spoken to, and he said, I think this Lord Jesus Christ can heal me. And they said, yeah, I think he can too. I've heard that he's healed blind people. I've heard that he's healed people who can't walk because their legs don't work. I've heard even that he's raised people from the dead. Oh yes, I believe in this Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, it was only this leper that came, because his belief was strong enough to spur him into action. Other lepers may have believed the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's belief led him to action. And he actually came. He actually went to the trouble. He actually sought out the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you think about it, it's quite a bold thing to do, isn't it? Really, especially for a leper. To seek out this man, to force your way through the crowd, to perhaps put other lives in danger. No. He was determined. I wonder if this is like you. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Of course you do. You've seen how he's acted in other people's lives. Maybe you've gone through Sunday school. Maybe you've read your Bible for yourself. Maybe you've come to this service many, many times. And you think that what we say and teach here in this church is true. You believe in heaven and hell. You believe that you are a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ can save. But your belief isn't quite strong enough, because you've never actually done anything about it. You believe, and you do nothing. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? It's like this leper saying to himself, well, the Lord Jesus Christ can heal me. He can give me my life back, but I won't go and see him tonight. He's in town, I know he is, but I'll wait till he comes round next year. No, I don't really need to be healed that urgently. Of course the leper wouldn't say that, but that's what many sinners say. They say, oh, here I am again at Woolwich Evangelical Church on a Sunday evening, and the pastor's urging me to repent of my sins. He's telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive me and make me a Christian if only I come and seek him with all my heart. I believe him. But I'll do it next week. I'll do it the week after. No. It's faith which saves this man. It's faith which saves a sinner. And that faith is belief. Belief in action. Belief that makes you take action. Belief that makes you not just a hearer of the word, but a doer also. So we see this leper. But then we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are two things I want to show you about the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he responds. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, touched the leper, and said, I will, which means I do want to heal you. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is willing. He says, I will. He is willing. He wants to save sinners. He wants to bring people to himself. You know, when you go to the bank manager and ask them for a loan, sometimes you think, well, they don't want to give me a loan. They're not interested. They'll find any excuse to turn me down. You go and go for a job interview. The people on the other side of the desk might be very, very hard. And you think, well, they don't want to give me this job. Oh, no, they don't want to do it at all. You might go to the doctors and you think, well, I've got a serious problem. But you only get 5 minutes from them. And you think, this doctor hasn't got time for me. He doesn't want me to hear. I'm wasting his time. Perhaps you go and see one of the teachers of your children at school and you get the impression that they're not really interested. They don't want to listen to you. Don't think for one moment that the Lord Jesus Christ is like that. Don't think that you are annoying him or wasting his time or exhausting his patience. No, the Lord Jesus Christ has infinite patience. The Lord Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able to heal. He came to this world to make a way of salvation. And if you pray to him, if you come to him and ask him, he will hear you. He is willing to hear you. He wants to save you. He is willing to forgive your sins. We see that in every miracle. If you want to, Lord, you can make me clean. I do want to be clean. So his willingness to help. Why did he come down to earth? Why did he trouble himself? Why did he leave heaven? Why did he suffer in life and in death? Because he wants to save sinners like you. He is willing. The only reason that you are not saved is not because the Lord won't listen to you. It's not because he doesn't want to save you. It's not because he has no interest in you. It's because you have not repented and trusted in him. So we see his willingness, but we also see his power. It's easy to miss in a sense, isn't it? And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately the impossible was done. Immediately the incurable disease was cured. Immediately the health was fully restored and there was no sign that it had ever been there. That's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do that. He can heal sinners. He can deal with our sin. You might say, but my sin, it demands a punishment. My sin, in the eyes of a holy God, well, I should be in hell forever. Yes. Yes, you should. But Jesus' power is greater than that. And Jesus' death has taken care of that. And the Lord Jesus Christ can pay your incalculable debt by his power. You are a bad sinner. But the Lord has saved far worse than you. And he will again. Come to the Lord. Understand his great willingness to help you. Understand his great power to help you. Can you put all of this together? The leper, the sinner, has a great need. You have a great need. You must come as the leper did in great humility. You must worship and call the Lord Jesus Lord, for he is above you. You must understand that he can do something for you which you cannot do for yourself. You must understand that he willingly stands ready to pay the price for your sins. And you must understand that he has the power to do that in an instant. He can stretch forth his hand and touch you this evening, just as he did that leper. And if he does, you'll be saved. So what will you do with your great need? Will you ignore it? Will you pretend that it doesn't exist? Will you, in pride, think that you can deal with this yourself? Will you, in disbelief, fail to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and take him at his word? Will you think that he is unwilling to save you? Will you doubt his power? Oh, do not do any of those things. But be like this leper who elbowed his way through the crowd, who made a beeline for the Lord, who sought him out, who boldly stood there in front of a vast number of people, who must immediately have seen that he was a leper. And he said, Lord, if thou wilt. And he fell at his feet. And the Lord said, I do will. I will save you. And the Lord can save you this evening from your sins. If you will only come. Amen.